Old spoke with News 10.
I was really sad.
Today on the Easter Sunday edition of The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, one airline is actually increasing the width of its seats, and a runway closure is going to make SFO an even tougher bet this summer.
And if you like to hike in the hills at 3:15, we introduce you to Urban Hikes from San Francisco.
At 3:35, Gwen Duncan is here with the deal of the week, and it involves travel discounts on Amtrak during National Train Week and a tip on how to get in the know about discount train fares.
At 3:40, consumer reporter Ed Perkins stops by to talk about things you should do and not do when renting a vacation home.
And finally, at 3:50, my co-host Steve LaRosa has information on a great Sacramento street fair.
All that as we make you a smarter traveler today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Ah, welcome everyone. Another beautiful Easter Sunday. Easter Sundays tend to be pretty nice in Sacramento. Mark Hoffman here. Steve LaRosa is my co-host today. Tom Romano has taken a day off to spend Easter Sunday with his family. Howdy, Steve.
Hey, Mark. I know Tom told you that, but I think I got word that he was over at Arden Fair Mall in an Easter bunny suit picking up
some extra cash.
Yeah.
He's holding out on us.
Yeah.
It's Easter Sundays tend to be nice days here. I'm just all shook up because, you know, my day was going along fine until I found out that my Oscar Mayer wieners may be. Did you hear that story? It was just breaking news there. 80,000 Oscar Mayer wieners are apparently mislabeled, so you now don't know if your wiener has cheese in it or not, and it's just a messy story. I just can't imagine that some people are going to go to an event and find out that, you know, there's cheese in their wieners. It's an unbelievable story. I'm guessing there'll be an update here at the bottom of the hour.
As in many cases on the Travel Guys, 50 different jokes I just let float by on that one.
Wiener Central is here at KFBK. We spare no expense, even on the weekend when it comes to news reporting. You name it, we've got it. Here, Mr. LaRosa, how was your Easter vacation week? Traffic was fairly light all over town. I don't know if you noticed that. Do you commute for...
Not much. Appointments here and there, but... You know, it was a very busy week. A couple new clients, a couple things in the works.
Next week is going to be the beginning of some very interesting time getting around in Sacramento because they're going to shut down part of the freeway over the top of town there. It's mm-hmm. going to be cut down to two or three lanes. It's eastbound for a month, and then it's westbound for a month. And I'm guessing that whoever planned this probably has some idea of what's going to happen, but I think most of us have really no idea of what's going to happen, whether it's going to have a cause, you know, serious backups or folks are going to have to change their travel plans. If you're basically going to pass through downtown Sacramento on a freeway, you've probably got to consider, especially if you're coming eastbound for the mm-hmm. next month and then westbound. It's www.fix50.com is how you get to information on that. But it's going to be kind of messy getting around town. I'm certain of it.
It's hard to imagine another section of the freeway that would have been a worse place to do this right now.
Yeah.
Or at any time, really.
Well, but yeah, exactly. When are you going to fix, you know, when do you fix a freeway? I'm mm-hmm. I'm guessing that, you know, I live right off of Watt Avenue at 50, so that's been a mess for as long as I can remember. It seems like since I was a small child, they've been working on that interchange.
Oh, the overpass.
Yeah, that whole mess out. All right, today in the travel news, International Hotel Group, that's IHG. For those of you who are not followers of corporate names of hotels, that means Holiday Inn and Intercontinental Hotels, have last year, they really goosed frequent travelers by making changes to their frequent guest program that were very unfavorable and very much devalued their points. Hilton did the same thing last year. And this year, both of those two hotel chains have announced that virtually no changes for 2014. If you're a Holiday Inn guy, 150 hotels are actually going to cost you fewer points. If you're a Hilton guy or gal, why there's 25 hotels went up and 14 went down, which is virtually a wash. So basically, after serious devaluations last year, two major hotel chains are giving their frequent guests your money is still worth the same for a year.
I'm curious, people who have like a credit card that are accruing miles, what's a better way to use them, airline or hotel?
Well, for years, that's a tough question, Steve, because different miles and even within different, you know, like at different airlines and within different hotels have different values. Hilton points have become virtually worthless. Starwood points have the greatest value because they give out, you know, it's whether your hotel gives you 10 points per dollar or 5 points per dollar or 2 points per dollar. And therefore, the guy that's giving you 10 wants 50,000 points to get a room, and the guy who's giving you two wants 10,000 points. So it's hard to compare apples to apples, and I guess they do it that way intentionally. Airlines are a little easier to compare across the boards because the award charts are virtually the same, and the way that miles are awarded when you fly on airplanes at least are the same. But I would say probably hotels have been easier because you could always get a hotel room, almost always get a hotel room with your miles. If you booked in advance and you weren't trying over a special event or Super Bowl weekend or something like that, you could always get a hotel room with your miles. Whereas with an airline ticket is a lot tougher situation. So hotel miles, on the other hand, are not worth as much as airline miles are when you redeem them hypothetically. So, you know, it's just tit for tat.
Mm-hmm.
speaking of hotels, new era in Wi-Fi at hotels. Hotels have gone, Steve, from trying to charge you $10 to get the Wi-Fi in your room now to giving you free Wi-Fi. Marriott did this starting last year. Wi-Fi is now free at Marriott hotels in your room. But if you want to stream anything on any of your devices, you're going to need an upgraded service, and then you're going to pay for that. So if you and I check in and go to our hotel room and all we're doing is checking our email and downloading some basic files and stuff like that, we're going to be just fine. We won't have to be goosed for the internet. If you're going to watch a movie or you're going to play around and watch a bunch of videos and stuff like that, you're probably going to have to pay for the internet. Hilton and now the IHG Holiday Inn is now following in their footsteps.
Well, you're the pro. Would people be up in arms if they started charging for services like email, Wi-Fi?
Well, I mean, up to now, when you stay in a premium hotel, you almost always pay for it. They told you that Wi-Fi is free in the lobby. You see all these people camped out in the lobby with their, you know, their iPads and their laptops and stuff like that, because that's the place that it was free. Now what they're telling you is you can do that basic stuff in your room, but if you want any kind of upgraded service that's going to hog the bandwidth that we're paying more money for, then you're going to have to pay for that. So that seems eminently fair to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a user, adventure travelers are spending more money. Not just millennials, but folks of all ages are looking to adventure travel. Adventure tourism in North America, Europe, and South America reached $263 billion. That's billion with a B, in 2012, up from only $89 billion in 2009. That's almost a threefold increase. Spending per trip is up over $900 from just about $600 in that same period. So that's a 50% increase for adventure travel. Things that, you know, zip lining and it's funny, Steve, adventure travel is defined differently than it used to be. You know, adventure travel used to be, you had to go whitewater rafting. Mm-hmm. Now you could go floating down the river, and some people would consider that to be adventure travel. Southwest is making, as we mentioned in the headline, Southwest is actually increasing the width of their seats. When it comes to coach class comfort, Southwest, which offers only coach seating throughout all of its 737 fleet, is neither a leader or a laggard. Its seat pitch is between 31 and 33 inches. Steve, that's the length between the front of one seat and the front of the next one. Is roughly 31 to 33 inches, which is about average, but they are installing some new slimline seats into their aircraft. Normally, these seats have been smaller pads. So what it's meant is now the airlines can get an extra row of seats in. Now what it means is that these seats actually are saving some width. So you're going to pick up 6/10 of an inch, which doesn't sound like a whole lot unless you needed that 6/10 of an inch.
Okay, you're the pro. What's the best tip for a seat encroacher? You're in the middle. Some guy's got his elbows over the...
Generally, the rule is that the person in the middle has first dibs on the armrests, on the two adjoining armrests, because they have the worst seat. But if somebody is encroaching, if somebody's mass is encroaching, or if they just decided to encroach into my area, I fight back at the first available opportunity. I reclaim territory a little at a time. we'll have to have a conversation about that someday. That would be a whole 10-minute conversation. And the other day I saw something about saving seats on Southwest, and I want to do something and invite people to call in, but we don't have time for it today.
Okay.
But we'll do it in the future. All right. And finally, the last item in the news, in the travel news, a couple of runway closures that you need to know about in San Francisco. They are closing one of the runways for 4 months. When you think about the fact that San Francisco is a tough airport to start with, now what you're basically talking about is you're assured it's going to be a tough airport for 4 months, particularly in the middle part of the day. What they're doing, Steve, is they're installing runway safety areas, which are basically areas at the end of the runway to stop a runaway plane. Mm. Think about runaway trucks is basically what they're doing. So this is Delta and United are cutting out some of their service between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. If you are going to ride one of those puddle jumpers from Sacramento to San Francisco in between the middle of May and the middle of September, if you're thinking about it, I strongly recommend that you do not do it, because those planes are the first ones not to go, and they're going to be very tough. Also, Newark, a runway closure of the Skyway leading into Newark Airport, and closure of the SkyTrain at Newark Airport, which is how you get from your gate over to the Amtrak connection to get into Manhattan. So if you're flying into Newark Airport between now and the end of June, you've got your work cut out for you. I recommend that you avoid Newark and San Francisco. San Francisco all summer, and Newark at least until the end of June. So that's the travel news. When we come back after the break, we have Alexandra from Urban Hikes with us. Tom and I spoke with her earlier this week, did a great interview. You won't want to miss it. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
On the road again. You're listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman with Tom Romano. And Mark, I'm climbing the stairway to heaven.
I was wondering what you did. You just have a flashback?
No. I'm kind of getting the vibe of being an urban hiker. You know, if you go to San Francisco, you really need to hike. And what better way to hike would be the first hike should be the official kind of hippie stairway to heaven kind of thing, which is kind of a weak lead into our special guest on the radio today. Mark, would you please introduce who we have on the line with us?
Alexandra Kennan is with us today. She is from Urban Hiker San Francisco, or she is Urban Hiker Sandra San Francisco. Alexandra, thank you for being a part of the Travel Guys. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark and Tom.
So I don't know where I found this. Just been something that landed in my inbox or something like that. One of my staff may have sent it to me. They're always on the lookout for things they think my radio listeners might be interested in. And as soon as I started looking on your website, I thought, wow, what a great idea, especially for folks from Sacramento. We tend to be, you know, suburbanites here, and we tend to migrate to the big city for the weekend or for, you know, a special day off or a special event or something. And so this seems like something that would be of interest. Tell us about Urban Hiker San Francisco.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Well, Urban Hiker San Francisco is an urban hiking tour company. We help you explore the stairways, hills, and hiking trails of the city while you learn some relevant history about the things you'll see.
Now, you've got a variety of different hikes. The hikes are generally about 5 miles and 3 hours long. Is that it, or do they vary from hike to hike?
They vary a little, but, you know, I'd say all our hikes have common themes: stairways, hills, hiking trails, anywhere between 4.5 and 5.5 miles, and anywhere between 2.5 and 3 hours. And what most people don't realize is that you can do a fair bit of hiking right inside the city of San Francisco. You don't have to go to Mount Cam. You don't have to go to Muirwood. You don't have to leave the city at all.
Why don't you give us a couple of your tours, if you would, Alexandria? Like, for instance, you know, tell us a little bit about one of the tours that you have called the Tale of the City.
Absolutely. Yes. Tales of the City. I gave that hike its name after the book series by Armistead Maupin. I think there's 8 or 9 books in this series now. And what happens in this book series is it takes place on a street called Barbary Lane. Well, that's actually a street called McCondry Lane in the Russian Hill neighborhood. So this tour goes through the Russian Hill, North Beach, and Telegraph Hill neighborhoods. All of our tours have a few marquee sites, I'd say, you know, but on this one it would be Coy Tower and Lombard Street.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the time you'll be going through alleyways, stairways, hidden parks, and things you just didn't know were there in the city. Even the neighbors sometimes don't even know they're there.
How do the people that live in these areas that see you and your hikers, how do they react?
Well, I've had, I'd say, 99% positive experiences with neighbors.
You want to come out and give you water? Like, you think you're some sort of a...
That would be great if they have a little lemonade stand waiting for us. We don't have that yet, but usually these people are very proud of where they live and they want to share facts and history and their stories with you. The only problem I've had is that there are some actually hidden slides on one of my tours called the Urban Jungles and City Heights Tour. And one of the neighbors is not very fond of people going down the slides and giving out a little yelp. So she has come over and asked us to be quiet a few times.
Calm it down, everybody.
How many people typically would be on one of your walks?
Yeah, that's a great question. We really like the small group environment. A lot of our tours are, you know, four people. We take anywhere between 2 and 12 people on our standard tours. And if you want to book a private event, we also do those. We have something around a 20-person tour coming up this June. What our hikers should know is that anytime we have a bigger group, we'll also have a second guide with us. So nobody gets lost at the bottom of the stairway, not knowing where to go.
Now, it looks like the packages are fairly moderately priced. It looks like $35 to $45 is the charge for being a part of the hike.
That's right. Our standard hikes are $45 per person. We do have group discounts starting at 10. We also do have one shorter hike, which is 2 hours, and that one's $35. That one, since it is a little more off the beaten path, has a minimum group of 4, but otherwise we have minimum group sizes of just 2.
And so our listeners will know the 2 hour trek, 3 miles, is in fact the Stairways to Heaven hike.
We are talking with Alexandra Kennan, and she is with Urban Hiker San Francisco. And we are talking today about here on the Travel Guys, and we're talking about some of the hikes that she has. So what happens, Alexandra? I'm a 58-year-old guy. I'm in reasonably decent shape, you know, a little yoga, a little gym once in a while. What happens
if
somebody
gets... Did you say a little yogurt and what?
A little yoga.
Oh, I see.
A little yoga. this is what I have to deal with every Sunday. Alexandra, have you ever had somebody get into the middle of a hike and find out they're in over their head? And, you know, what happens then?
I am so thankful I have not had that. I did have one person who decided they were scared of stairways and they decided to bow out. They just took a taxi home and the rest of their family met them at the end of the tour. But everyone else, I've had people from 10 to 72 so far on my hikes, and everyone has successfully completed their hike. So the goal is not about speed or, you know, or fitness. There, you will definitely have a great workout on any of our hikes. But most people who are interested in an urban hike are self-selecting and will be able to finish the tour.
What would you say is the average age of someone on one of your hikes?
Gosh, I'd say, believe it or not, there are tons of people in their 60s who have just made fitness a lifestyle. And I got a few 60-year-old people. I'm 35. I had a few 60-year-old people. I couldn't keep up with going up a hill. So yep. I've had some really fit people. But we also have people, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, again, all the way up to 72.
So it sounds like just a wonderful demographic mix of just people.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had all ages, and we've had people from over 10 different countries. So that's been really exciting for us, too.
Now, is this a certain days of the week, certain time of the day? How does that work, Alexandra?
The exact schedule is on our website, urbanhikersf.com. But in general, our tours start at either 9:30 or 1:30, and that allows you to have lunch either after or before your tour.
Alexandra, how long has Urban Hikers been around?
Yeah, I founded the company around August 2012, so I'm very excited. We're going to be celebrating our second anniversary this summer.
And should I ask, was there an aha moment? I mean, were you out, you know, with nature, or how was it that you decided that this was something that you were going to assume this is the way you're making your living?
Yes, this is part of the way I'm making my living, but I'll rewind a little bit. I was actually a product marketing manager at Google for 4.5 years. I moved here from the East Coast, from Philadelphia, for that job. And while I absolutely love Google, I just couldn't bear doing the commute anymore. So I ended up leaving the company in January 2012. And for a few months, I just was like, what am I going to do next? You know, I was looking at job listings online for very similar jobs to the one I had at Google, and nothing really seemed that exciting. And on my time off, I decided to finally get to know San Francisco. You know, I realized I spent up to 3 hours a day on the 101 and not really even in my own city. So I really took time for the first time to explore my own city. I went to places like the 16th and Moraga Mosaic Steps, the beautiful mosaic stairway. I went to Stern Grove, all these places that I'd never been before. And suddenly it dawned on me that other people might want to see these sites too. So thus Urban Hiker SF was born.
Awesome idea. I love it. I think you're going to be very successful. This really looks like a wonderful way to see the city in a completely different fashion than on a bus or a cable car. Gosh, I wish you the best of luck. And I'm looking forward to booking a Stairway to Heaven with you sometime.
Yeah, I think this is something that I'm going to want to check out. Alexandra, thanks for coming on the Travel Guys and being a travel gal with us. And we appreciate it, and we'll check back in with you down the road and see how things are going at Urban Hiker San Francisco. You can go to travelguysradio.com and find a link to her website, a direct link to her website, and find out all about the hikes in San Francisco. Keep on trucking, my friend.
Thanks so much, Mark and Tom.
All right, thank you so much. Well, there we are, taking the Stairway to Heaven, if you will. Urban Hiker San Francisco. Make you a smarter traveler and have some fun on a fine Sunday. We're the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. More to come.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Second half of the Easter Sunday program. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation sitting in with Steve LaRosa from all over the place.
Sitting in for our dear old friend Tom Romano, who's having a wonderful Easter Sunday at home with family.
Yep. The KFBK news staff is out trying to get an update on that wiener story. Oscar Mayer wieners are masquerading as cheese-filled or not cheese-filled. It's a dangerous situation all over town right now. The KFBK news team is spreading out over the metropolitan area to try to find somebody who's got one of those tainted wieners.
Spreading out like a jar of Dijon mustard, my friends.
That's it. That's it. Gwen Duncan joins us on the line. Hi, Gwen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Gwen.
Happy Easter.
Yes, we've deteriorated from Easter eggs to Oscar Mayer wieners here.
I heard.
On Easter Sunday. Well, it's a pretty serious situation, and we're trying to keep folks informed, but there's, like most breaking news stories, there's precious little available at this time.
Well, we're going to talk today about the National Train Day.
We are. National Train Day, or is it National Train Day or National Train Week? National Train Day.
National Train Day.
And Amtrak
and
has some special.
May 10th.
Amtrak has some special fares for that day.
Well, actually, they're having special fares throughout the month of May, and you can use those obviously to do the special activity. Some of the different routes are offering $5 children's fares. That's not in California. They are offering senior discounts of 50% instead of 15% during the month of May here in the corridor, the California corridor, the Capital Corridor. They also have, of course, their smart fares, and I've got three different deals to talk about.
Okay.
To talk to you about. One of them is the smart fares, and they do those for the Capital Corridor. They're offering those out. You have to contact Amtrak, and you have to do that on Tuesday. So it's only Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays that you can book them. So you don't even know exactly which routes are going to be affected. And that will give you 25% off on all their fares for the next 3 weeks.
So you just log on to Amtrak.com and look under Smart Fares. And we have a link to that on TravelGuysRadio.com. So if you're listening and you can pull up our website, well, you can link right to it. But so Amtrak has special fares every week. Go on.
Yeah, and then you'll find out that's for travel, not on Fridays and Sundays, but all the rest of the days of the week for the next 3 weeks. And they change every week, so you'll want to check those out. The next thing are the seniors, usually 15%. Now they're 50% off during the weekdays. You only have through May the 29th to make the bookings, and it's only for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday travel. But this is quite a good deal. And then the kids, they've got 50% off on kids, so if a grandparent wants to do something special with their kids, you can get quite a savings for that. And the next thing is a California rail pass. If anybody really wants to explore the rails, you can do 7 days in 21 for a flat $159 on the Capitol Corridor, the San Joaquin, and the Pacific Surfer. Now, the national train day is having celebrations all over, and here in California it's unique in that it's the 75th anniversary for the Union Station in Los Angeles.
So they're going to have a big to do down there. Gwen,
yeah,
they
are here too.
Okay, and Gwen, as always, information on these deals can be found at Cordially Yours Travel. And which is Gwen's company. You can find a link on travelguysradio.com. Just go right down there to the description of the show, and you'll see where you can link to the Amtrak special fares or where you can link to Gwen and get her assistance. Gwen, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you so much, Mark.
All right, Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel with today's update. And we shift gears quickly here on the Travel Guys and go to our next guest. Ed Perkins joins us on the line. Hi, Ed.
Hi.
Good afternoon to you, sir. A happy Easter to you.
Well, and the same to you and your listeners.
Thank you. I'm here. Tom is on. Is taking the day off, and Steve LaRosa has joined me in studio here. Steve is.
Hey, Ed.
has been a guest on our program many times. Hope Easter is treating you well, my friend.
Oh, not doing much uphill here, but having a productive day.
How's the weather in Ashland today?
It's been nice, but we've been having off and on rain squalls. It's kind of weird.
Well, send some of that rain down our way. We're afraid we may be all done for the entire spring. At least we got some rain in February and March. And I wanted to ask you about an article that you published last week on smartertravel.com, where you write regularly. We encourage folks to visit smartertravel.com because there's all kinds of good stuff there, information and airfare discounts and things like that. Ed is kind of the consumer reporter for Smarter Traveler. And this week, Ed, you talked about how to protect yourself when you're renting a vacation home and some of the things that you needed to look out for.
Yeah, and this is a tricky area because, as you know, a vacation rental is the absolute opposite of a hotel in the sense that oftentimes you're renting a private accommodation from an individual, and that individual may only be renting that one accommodation. So you don't have any of the assurances of renting or arranging an accommodation from a well-known brand.
Now, Ed, if you're thinking about renting a vacation home, I'm in Sacramento, and if I'm thinking about renting a vacation home for a week on, say, the Oregon coast, and I have no way to get there. I mean, I can look at pictures, but who knows if those pictures were taken last week or last year. How do you do your homework on something like that?
If you don't have a chance to, what I say, kick the tires, if you don't have a chance to check it out personally beforehand, either on a prior trip or coming early, the best way to avoid a really bad surprise is to rent from what I call one of the curated rental agencies. And that means agencies that have actually personally inspected every rental they list. And typically they tend to focus more on upscale properties, and they tend to be much smaller than the 800-pound gorillas in this business, which are people like VRBO and HomeAway and FlipKey that are just bulletin boards where people list their rentals.
Now, Ed, is in your experience or in your knowledge, is it better to rent a vacation home through a group, you know, sort of like a hotel group, a company that rents vacation homes, lots of vacation homes, or is it easier to rent it from just a private party?
It's less risky if you rent an accommodation that's maybe part of a large condominium group or part of a brand management by somebody like Wyndham that has a bunch of this stuff. But chances are you'll pay a little bit more. And you won't necessarily, if you want the Oregon coast, there are hardly any such major condominium developments over there. Most of the rentals are individual properties owned by individuals. So you always have that balance of it's cheaper versus less risky.
Now, if you pay with a credit card, Ed, does that give you some protection?
It gives you some protection, but mainly against out-and-out fraud and inability to occupy the premises. The credit card chargeback provisions do not apply if you're just disappointed.
And how do you know that if you're renting a home from somebody, how do you know if it's legal in the municipality that you're renting it in, that it's okay for people to do what they indeed are doing? Because in some cities, it's not.
That's correct, including San Francisco and New York City, both of which are fairly popular destinations. And that's a question that's easier to pose the question than to answer it. Although I think San Francisco is on the right track when they say, look, we're not trying to outlaw this. What we're trying to do is, if people want to do this, we're going to get our hotel tax out of it. And so they're moving in that direction. But this is a tough question.
And how do you decide whether or not, if somebody, you're renting a vacation home from somebody and they say, well, I want the first night's deposit, you know, in cash or by check, or I mean, where do you draw the line there? It just seems like, you know, and I'm going to Hilton and I'm giving them my credit card, I have an expectation that they're going to take care of it and that it's only going to be used for what it's supposed to be used for. How would I know if I was giving a stranger my credit card number or sending them a check, or any thoughts on that area?
Well, yeah, again, the safest thing to do is to rent from an online agency that actually has inspected personally every property that they rent, and they're an ongoing business. If something happens, you can haul them into court. And so that's much safer than just renting, like picking something up off a Craigslist. The problem is that, again, to reduce the risk, you generally increase the cost.
Ed, I'm sorry, Ed.
No set answer.
Ed, this is Steve. What's the difference between just disappointed and unacceptable? What would be an example?
Unacceptable would be sort of really unable to actually stay there. It could mean the plumbing doesn't work, the heat doesn't work, the AC doesn't work, there's no electricity, something like that. But if you just come to a place and find that, well, it's dingy and it wasn't properly cleaned, and they must have taken those pictures with the widest angle lens available because it's a lot smaller than it looked in the photograph. You really are not going to get a chargeback through your credit card on that kind of disappointment.
Ed, any last final thoughts here before we let you go? Anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to share about renting a vacation home?
I would just like to add this, that even though I talk about greater risks, I have rented vacation properties both in the United States and in Europe through sites like HomeAway and VRBO, and I've never run into a problem.
Ed Perkins, one of our consumer reporters, joining us live on the Travel Guys this afternoon. Ed, you have a lovely rest of the Easter up there in Ashland, Oregon, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Let's hope so, and the same to you folks down there.
All right. Thank you, Ed Perkins. And you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can see a link right there to protecting yourself against vacation rental risk. You can read all of Ed's story, or you can see all of his writing on SmarterTravel.com, one of the websites I highly recommend if you're looking for travel news. We are the Travel Guys. I am Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, which brings you this program every Sunday. Steve LaRosa is across from me. And when we come back, Steve's going to tell us about a great cultural family fair taking place on May the 4th right here in our city. We are the Travel Guys.
Riding on the city,
Arlo Guthrie. Arlo Guthrie on the City of New Orleans. That is one of my favorite songs. Mark Hoffman with Steve LaRosa on the Travel Guys. Steve, you have one of your activities here in town that's coming up is in Oak Park, just a couple of weeks away on a Sunday afternoon. They are having a big street fair there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's actually happening on May 4th. It's the 35th Street Fair. Fair. Ask me why we named it that, Mark.
Why did you name this the 35th Street Fair, Steve?
It's on 35th Street.
Oh, what an incredible idea.
Yeah, brilliant, wasn't it? It's just 35th Street, just a block off Broadway. You know where Old Soul is and 40 Acres?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Guild Theater, just a stone's throw from there at the middle of 35th, between there and McClatchy Park.
Many years ago, as a small child, I used to wander down that way to go to the State Fair every year. You know,
of course.
I mean, it's just up the street from
there
where the
go.
Old State Fair
Absolutely.
Was.
Absolutely.
Stockton and, yeah, all right. So this is a street fair that goes on, and this is not the first time they've done this, or is this a first-time event?
This is the fifth year, but we've kind of changed the concept a little. We're doing Well, you know, Sacramento is one of the most culturally diverse cities in the country.
Yes.
So all of the entertainment acts, it's going to be a multicultural event in terms of the entertainment acts. Everything from lion dancers to taiko dan, you know, the big drums.
I see you got some Polynesian dancers here.
Yep.
And so you're going to be, this is to promote the cultural diversity of the city of Sacramento.
Right, and we'll have classic cars, we'll have food trucks, we'll have vendors, artists, and we'll have a bounce house for the kids. There's a thing called the Kid Zone.
Uh-huh.
And it's a free family fair. It's a lovely way to spend an afternoon. It's from noon to 6 on Sunday, May 4th.
And it's put on by the Oak Park Business Association, I'm
yes.
seeing here.
Yep.
So what happened? What you know, when I grew up in Sacramento, and Oak Park was always, you know, kind of a rough neighborhood. And then Kevin Johnson stepped in there for a while and invested some money, and some people made some efforts to try to improve things, which it looks like are still going on. You know, when I drive by the outskirts of Oak Park, it looks like a better place than it was before, is it?
It is. There's a real renaissance going on. As you know, the way the streets come into Broadway, they're all like triangular.
Uh-huh.
So we're rebranding that area, the Triangle District. There's a lot of redevelopment going on with row housing, couple of restaurants, microbrewery, the starting very soon, if it hasn't started already, the farmers market right there at the end of McClatchy Park.
And, you know, I was downtown Friday night and noticed how, you know, years ago, Old Town was the center of activity. Now the center of activity is in Midtown, because
mm-hmm.
neighborhoods change and
right.
everything's always constantly in evolution. It strikes me that that neighborhood is not very far from where the, quote, action is right now, and could very well be another possibility, especially since valet parking and restaurants and stuff are probably a little cheaper there than they are in Midtown right now, because parking is a little bit of a problem. But it certainly has become a very in place. So this is the 35th Street
Fair.
And it is on Sunday, May the 4th, from noon to 6 p.m. in Oak Park. And you can find more information on this. We have a link to it, actually, on travelguysradio.com. Just go right down to the highlights of the show, and it's the last one there. And you can link to it and find out some more details about what's going on. You're involved in a lot of these sorts of things around town, these kind of festivals and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm making my living now in PR and advertising. A variety of clients.
How long have you been involved in the? It strikes me that some people around town might say, "Steve LaRosa." God, I've heard that name somewhere before.
Oh, Steve! I remember back in the day. Yeah, well, Channel 3 for 15 years, and written for a number of local publications.
And you were on the air some there
every night.
Yeah, so you had a program. What was it? Weeknight?
Well, we had Weeknight for a while, and then I had a segment that kicked off the Channel 3 News at the end of the news every night. I was the guy who did the funny story at the end of the news.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We'd come out to Stan, and he didn't know whether to laugh or be embarrassed, so it was always a surprise for him.
The good old days at Channel 3. So you're still knocking around. It's kind of like Romano and I, you know. Good old media guys never go away. They just move on to another.
Worked with Tom for many years. He was downstairs at the radio station.
Do you know Tom Romano helped me write my first radio commercial 33 years ago?
The man is a multi-talented.
Yeah, and he was only 7 at the time. That's what's amazing to me. Hey, listen, last week we forgot to give out a winner for Sports Leisure Vacations for one of our travelers. We do this every week, Steve, and the person wins a $50 travel card, and if they call the office and tell us they heard their name, we double it to $100. So we've got two winners this week, because we didn't have one last week. The first one is Mary Lou Tucker, who went with us, went with Clayton, looks like deep in the heart. So this is a Southern tour she went on earlier this month. Mary Lou Tucker. And the other one is Charlie Crowder. So those are the two lucky sports leisure travelers, Mary Lou Tucker and Charlie Crowder. If you call us Monday or Tuesday, we'll up your booty from $50 to $100. And either way, while you're are the lucky travel guys listeners for today, Sports Leisure Vacations, of course, brings you this wonderful program every week. And tis our pleasure. So what's up for you next week, Mr. LaRosa?
Very busy. A couple new clients really kicking it. You just had an open house.
We did last week, 350 people, and then sold a lot of tours on Monday and Tuesday of last week. So the travel business is pretty good right now. Things are pretty strong.
What happened at your open house?
We tell folks about trips. We had JR come out with the barbecue buggy, and you know, JR is a buddy of mine. He's been doing events for me for a long time. You can do way worse than hiring a local guy to come out with the buggy, and JR comes out and he's always nice to your customers and stuff like that. So he's really one of my favorite characters in town.
Oh yeah, when I was reviewing restaurants for SACMAG, I reviewed JR many times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Steve, thanks for coming in today and filling in for Tom Romano. I truly appreciate that.
My pleasure.
And thanks for the info on the street fair in Oak Park. That's on the 4th of May. I might even go out and check it out after the travel guys are over. I have to practically drive by it on my way home.
It's
maybe
free.
Maybe you'll call us and on that day and give us a little bit of an update.
I will report from the field.
All right. Thank you. We are the travel guys. Steve LaRosa, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano will be back next week. Thanks to everybody. We'll see you on the road again soon. Bye-bye.